You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome indeed to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us for the very first time tonight, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I think you're going to be glad you're here, too. And you need to know that we have a free weekly newsletter. Go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And you'll see it's in red letters. It says K-Files E-Zine. Just click on that and subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It's absolutely free and no strings attached. Well, now, today has been an interesting day, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we've been working on this problem that we've had with the K-Pods. And the problem with the K-Pods has been, quite simply, that we've been able to upload them, but we haven't been able to generate the new listing, the software that we were using that generates the RSS listing. It would accept the new entries, but it just wouldn't print them out. It wouldn't. And anyway, thanks to one of our listeners, we have some new software, and it works. And we are at this time inputting all the information into the new software. And so I thought we'd be done by now, but we're not. So maybe by tomorrow afternoon, we'll have them all in there. But I told you it's been an interesting day. Those who have been listening for some time are aware that we enjoyed a thunderstorm like I've never seen in my 55 years. And did a little damage to some equipment and knocked out our cable, and I had to move, and I did. Well, the cable went down here today. Actually, it went down right after the show last night. We were not able to upload the entire latest show. About 3 minutes worth of it got uploaded, and then the cable went down. And I was really worried about this thing all the way up until just a little bit ago, maybe, I don't know, like an hour ago, hour and 10 minutes ago, something like that. They got it fixed. Whew. I didn't know whether we would be able to broadcast tonight or not, but here we are. But having said that, now you know why I had a guest scheduled for tonight. I asked the guest to postpone till next week because I thought we probably would not be able to broadcast tonight. Well, we'll enjoy that guest next week. But we have another treat for you, and that is Walter Bosley, he's visiting us. He's in the studio with me tonight. Say hello, Walter.
Hello. That was easy.
Walter was with us as he's been our guest on the show several times, but he's visiting with me this weekend from California. And tomorrow morning we plan to get up early and get up on South Mountain, and he wants to examine some of the petroglyphs and, of course, you know, his work with ley lines and researching that. And there are some pretty major ley lines that go right through South Mountain. So we're going to be doing that tomorrow. And, yes, I will take the video camera with me. And hopefully do a better job of shooting that than I did my last trip up there. All right, folks, we're going to be talking about some mind-bending stuff again tonight. So hang on to your hats, all right? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to our studio here at the Kevin Smith Show, my guest, Walter Bosley. And it's a privilege to have him with us in studio. I'm going to be sharing some things with you this evening, and then we're going to open the phone lines so that you can call in. They're not open right now, and it's a waste of time to try because the phone line is just shut off right now. But it's really a privilege to have him with us. I met him at the world premiere of a movie about UFOs, and I was covering that, you may remember. That's where I first met him, and he's been our guest on the show several times. He's a publisher, he's an author, he's a researcher, he's a former special agent for Air Force OSI, and some other stuff. I'm really interested in getting his reaction and comments to some of what we'll be talking about here tonight. Now, I want to start off with, this is a report out of the UK, and I'm actually going to talk about a couple of different things out of the UK here. Aliens are being blamed for a massive power cut which affected more than 14,000 people in Chorley. Thousands of homes and businesses were left in semi-darkness. And then there were witnesses who said, guess what? Just before and then right at the time of the blackout, there were two UFOs right up above the town. They are described this way. One of the witnesses said, there was also a small globe. No, I'm sorry. He said there were two UFOs. The main one was a huge bright cross. Now, I find that interesting because, Walter, you showed me on your index cards some drawings you had of petroglyphs. One of those is a big cross. And you've got it there. So there it is. All right. Now, I don't know. I'm going to try this, folks. I don't know if you can see this. Walter has drawing here of some petroglyphs he wants to look for when we get up on South Mountain. And that's one of them. See that big cross? And so this guy says, you know what? This one UFO was a big bright cross, which shone a brilliant silver color, although my wife thought it was more of a gold color. There was also a small globe or circular object close to it composed of the same uncanny brilliance. Both were static in the daylight, in other words, they weren't moving, and then both disappeared at exactly the same moment. He said, I am aware that electrical power cuts have been associated with UFO activity in the past. He added that the cross was very big and very imposing and altogether weird looking. All right, well, we know that the UK is having somewhat of a wave of UFO activity, and I get reports from our listeners in the UK all the time telling me about UFO sightings and activity in the UK. And so there's one. But I really, really, really like to attack the inane stupidity of sub-intellectual mud-sucking toads. It's just my calling in life. You know, you would think if you watch mass media, which all of you do, we all do, at some point during the day or at least during the week, you're going to see at least a little bit of mass media And if you watch that and they're reporting on UFOs, they leave you with the impression pretty much that people who think that UFOs are real are somehow a little bit less sharp than the rest of the tools in the box. I got to tell you something, it's the exact opposite of that, because those are sub-intellectual, mud-sucking toads. They refuse to look at the evidence. Now, I'm going to show you some evidence. This evidence is a video that was shot by a cop over in the UK. Some people, you know, think cops are nervous about being called cops. I'm a cop. He's sort of, or we used to be. It's not disrespectful.
Badge of honor, no pun intended.
It is. All right, I'm going to show you a video. This video was shot by a cop over in the UK. It was actually, you know, I could be wrong. It was in the area of Dublin, Ireland. I'm want to be specific about where it was. But this was a cop on the ground, and he shot this video. And I think you're going to find this quite interesting. Take a look at this. Now, the reason that I call people who, you know, they'll make up any kind of story to explain this away. And this has been explained away as Chinese wedding lanterns that someone has hoisted aloft. Now, I want us to go back, and I want us to look at that. Okay, let's go back a little further. Take a look at that. All right. Chinese wedding lanterns. Now, that's high up in the sky. If you'll go online and take a look at Chinese wedding lanterns on Google, you'll see they're little bitty tiny things, and they don't put out this much light. But I want you to look, when I start the video moving again, I want you to watch this area of your screen. I want you to watch the one in the middle, all right? And tell me if that's behaving anything like a Chinese wedding lantern. See it strobing? But the sub-intellectual, mud-sucking toads have put out the story that that's Chinese wedding lanterns. Okay? There is absolutely no possible way that we're looking at little candles, wedding candles, high up in the sky, and then somehow, you know, they got them to strobe, the one in the middle to strobe like it was. Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's a wedding candle.
What the hell?
Yeah, that is for sure, Walter. I'm convinced it's a wedding candle now. I've seen them do that.
I want to go to that wedding.
Oh, my goodness. All right. There's a lot more of this video. But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, the point is, these people that put out these nonsense stories, you know, oh, it was flares. Or how about this one? I like, people see something like this in the United States, and then we hear, well, we had some F-16s up doing some exercises. Boy, that looked like F-16s to me. What do you think, Walter?
Having seen lots of F-16s, oh, yeah, sure. I'm buying it. Now, that looked like the thing that, correct me if I'm wrong, that was seen over Stephenville, too?
Some of the descriptions of the Stephenville sighting were like that,
mm-hmm.
but some of them were sort of like a lighted snake. I mean, it was just all squiggly and lights all in it. So apparently there were either two of these things,
mm-hmm.
or multiples, maybe more than two, or it was able to morph and change its shape. Now, our good buddy Jeff Woolline, I'll tell you what, people that say that Jeff Woolline's videos are balloons, those same things that he videotapes here in the Phoenix area are being seen all over the world and videotaped all over the world. And I mean all over the world, because NASA has videotaped them too.
Mm-hmm.
in space. And in your K-Files e-zine that'll be coming out tomorrow, I would have sent it out today, but the cable was down. I couldn't get on the internet. All right, but in the K-Files e-zine that's coming out tomorrow, I have a couple of links in there where you can watch videos shot by NASA, where they one of them is like a snake or a worm in space, and it has a strobe light on the front of it, and they just don't comment about it. You know, the silence is screaming, and then there's another one that looks like. One of the things, well, you just have to see it. One of the weird things that Jeff has videotaped here in the Phoenix area, NASA's got the same kind of thing in another video. So I put two of them on there for you. But here's the point. These things are strange. They're weird. They're unexplained. And because of that, people feel uncomfortable with it. And they feel like they have to explain it some way. And so they tell us it's flares, or it's F-16s, or it's swamp gas, or weather balloons, or a weather inversion. And they come up with every kind of nonsense story that you can come up with. And I get the impression that we're mushrooms. We sit in the dark, and they feed us poop.
They think we are, definitely.
Yeah, that's what they think, yeah. That's what they think. You think that's candles?
Not the kind of candle they're purporting it to be. That was quite... What do you think that was on the front end there? I'm assuming that was the front end, that blast of red. I mean, that looked like a beam.
It did look like a beam. Let's go back and look at that again. Let's see if we can find that again.
I wonder if Joseph Farrell has seen that. You know, he's in the business of theorizing on scalar weapons and... plasma and particle and things like that. I mean,
but what do you think about this thing? That strobe in the middle?
In the middle, yeah. That's
now we should be coming up pretty quickly here on the.
I would say the strobe in the middle has something to do with the keeping it off the ground.
Yeah,
something
maybe.
To do with the anti-gravity function, perhaps.
Now we should be coming up pretty quickly, I would think, on this. On the strobing, I mean the
blast
red.
Of red,
yeah, and I mean it's it looks like a beam shoots out of the thing. There it is. There
Dang.
Is a beam,
and it passes. See, it scans.
Yeah,
look at that. It's scanning. Jesus, you know, if you gave that thing three long snaky legs, it's War of the Worlds.
It's scanning. All right, you saw it. You, ladies and gentlemen, you're the jury. You saw it. Now, I've been making a case on this show for 8 years that you have had eyes all your life. You might not know what that thing is, but you know what it's not. You know that's not a couple of commercial aircraft passing near the area. You know it's not Chinese wedding candles. You know it's not swamp gas, weather balloons, flares, or F-16s, all right? You've had eyes all your life. So are you going to believe what your own eyes show you or what officialdom tells you? Speaking of, I want to, and we'll get into this. Let's see, what's the time? Yeah, we got time to get into this. You know, NASA is not my enemy. I admire NASA, and that's a fact. They have done some marvelous things for every living human on this planet. I admire NASA when they do right. But I think that when NASA is doing something that is not truthful, or at least appears to not be truthful, it needs to be pointed out. And we need to go back to, are you going to believe what your eyes tell you or what they tell you? Now, this press release, this is a press release from NASA right here in my hot little hand. Got the NASA logo on it and everything. See that? All right. Came out today, and it says more than 150 Mars atmosphere experts from the U.S., Canada, and Europe will be in Williamsburg, Virginia, for a NASA-sponsored workshop. That is absolutely a beautiful part of the country. If you've never been there, you ought to go. Maybe go during the workshop, knock on the door and see if they'll let you in. Show them some of their own pictures. NASA's Langley Research Center in nearby Hampton, Virginia, will host the four-day workshop on November 10th through 13th at the Woodlands Hotel. And it's going to be the goal of this third international workshop on Mars atmosphere modeling and observations is to bring together experts on the Mars atmosphere and climate system. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Are you listening? Listen carefully to this. This workshop, it says, scientific interest in Mars is due in large part to its atmosphere, which has shaped its history and surface. This may have created, listen, this may have created past climate conditions that were suitable for sustaining surface liquid water and possibly life. All right, do you remember the show that I did on Mars? I went back after that show and did a video using all of the same pictures, and you've seen it, haven't you?
I believe so.
The video about Mars where I show the pictures, it says bad information. The title is Bad Information from Official Sources.
Oh, yes.
And then I show the pictures, you know, from Mars. And you see from Mars, you see from the NASA's own photographs that Mars is not like what they've been telling us. Okay, well, remember I showed you a picture in that of a hurricane. Now, if you didn't catch that show, it's in our members area, okay? Just go join and become a member, and then you can get all the videos and audios and everything we've got.
And do it as soon as possible, because that is an astounding video.
Thank you. But the information really is astounding. And the information comes from their own photographs. Well, we're going to do a little bit more of that tonight, and then we're going to open the phones, and we'll go open line and let you talk about whatever you want to talk about. And we got Walter with us. You can ask Walter whatever you want to ask Walter. And I see the video's doing some funny stuff and jumping. We'll try to get that fixed. All right. They're looking to see if there was a possibility that the climate may have created conditions in the past that were suitable for sustaining surface liquid water and possibly life. Well, tonight I'm going to show you, we have to take a break here in about a minute, less than a minute, half a minute. And when we come back from that break, I'm going to show you some of NASA's photographs. I got them from NASA. And a couple of them from other websites that had blown them up. Some of them I got from NASA. But they are, all the originals are NASA. They haven't been doctored. And I'm going to see if there's water and if there's life right now. And that's from NASA's own evidence. We'll be back right after this. By the way, you guys at NASA, hi, welcome aboard. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. In the studio with me, Walter Bosley. And Walter, we're going to start taking a look at some pictures. Folks, look, I want to, for those of you that just joined us during that break, this is a press release from NASA that came out today, all right? And it says they're going to sponsor a workshop in Williamsburg, Virginia, November the 10th through the 13th. And in the body of this press release, it says, Scientific interest in Mars is due in large part to its atmosphere. I'd say so. Which has shaped its history and surface. This may have created past climate conditions that were suitable for sustaining surface liquid water and possibly life. Well, let's see. All right. Surface liquid water. How about a lake? Now, this was shot by the Mars Global Surveyor. You might say, well, that might be water. It might not be. I can tell you that very close-ups of this, very, very close, shows ripples in the water. It also, you know, you can see around, there's some islands there. And if you notice, there's an island there just to the left of the mark that I just made, and there's an island there just to the left of the mark. There's a little island and outcropping there, and then a whole bunch of them up in this area. Okay, now, those islands, if you will, those islands, coming away from the island, you can see through the water and watch the shoreline drop off down into the water. But maybe that's not clear enough. Maybe we need a little help here. This is a radar image of a lake you will never, ever see. It is definitely a lake. It is Lake Vostok, and it's under 2 miles of ice on the continent of Antarctica, but it is a liquid water lake. Now, what you're looking at here is a radar image, and they've taken the radar image and traced over where the lake is. Look at the textures, and then look at that. That's on Mars, folks. Does that look like what we just saw? Looks very similar, doesn't it? And there we are on Mars. This one's on Earth. This one is on Mars. Now, they're looking for the possibility that maybe there was some climate conditions in the past that might have made it possible for there to be liquid water on the surface. What about this photograph here from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter? Now, you might not be able to see too well in this picture, but because of the size of it on your video screen, but that is a dark blue reservoir right there, and all down through here is dark blue, and there's some rivulets running off to the side here, and even there at NASA, when you look at this, it says that this area shows signs that it once was under very active water. Well, I think I'm looking at some remains of the water. Walter, what do you think?
I don't see how they can try to convince us otherwise, particularly when you do the comparison photos of the things on Earth which are confirmed, verified, you know, to be water, and you're looking at essentially the same thing as far as features go. I don't know how they can continue to go on, you know, but as you've pointed out, they're not really continuing to say no. They're just not saying anything.
Yeah, it's kind of a new tack here. What they're doing, and I think this is interesting, there is that law that says if they talk about it, mm-hmm. they're in trouble.
Right.
Right? So they're not talking. They've just gone silent. They're not talking about it. But the pictures are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And they, very honestly, later on, once we get all of this nonsense behind us and these people are able to speak openly and tell us what they know, they can honestly answer the accusations when someone says, well, what about all those years that you lied to us? They can say, honestly, we didn't lie. You know, we didn't lie. We didn't talk about it, But we showed you the pictures. What do you think about that? Look right up along the shoreline, and let me show the audience where I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Look right in this area here. All right, I'm going to remove, and it extends this way and then comes on around this way. Look in that area, and I'll remove the blue line. You can actually see the reflection of the liquid against the side of the cliffs there. Or you can see the reflection of the cliffs in the liquid.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I noticed when I was first looking at it, was that's definitely liquid. They can't say that's not liquid. Now, they might say it's ice, but...
It might be. However, it doesn't have the look of that. And this, again, if you look very closely at this, if you take this picture and you zoom it in, I wish I had done some zooms of this, along that shoreline, you can see through the liquid, and you can see the cliff through the liquid and through the reflection. Just like you would, you know, here on Earth.
And if it was frozen over, that would have been obscured.
Yeah.
In the result.
And they say that, you know, well, here's what we want to do. We really want to see if maybe, possibly, the conditions could have existed on Mars to possibly support life of some kind. Now, folks, I want to ask you again. I published an article last week, and I asked this question. You've had eyes all your life, right? When is the last time you saw a cow that turned out to be a Corvette? When's the last time you saw a jet aircraft that turned out to be a bumblebee?
Although with some of the new technology that they're doing with the little insect cameras you hear about.
That's true. But the thing is, when you see a jet aircraft, you know that's what it is. You might not know what kind of jet it is,
right?
But you know it's a jet aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a cow, you know that's not a Corvette, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we see these UFOs, and we allow officialdom to convince us that it was a swarm of mosquitoes. Why? I mean, my eyes don't, like, suddenly quit working when I see a UFO. Yours don't. You saw what you saw. Maybe you cannot explain all of it. That's okay. You still saw what you saw. And it wasn't swamp gas or flares. In some cases it is. I mean, there are hoaxes, but...
Sure.
But you know when you see one. It's like the one we saw from Dublin, Ireland, from the area of Dublin, Ireland. I'm looking at this. I can tell that's not an F-16. I can tell it's not a cow. It's not a weather inversion. I can tell it's not flares.
It's not swamp gas.
It's not swamp gas. It doesn't fit the characteristics of anything we know. Now, that makes it unidentified. It's up in the air. That makes it flying. And it's obviously an object. It's not hallucinations. Folks, remember, video cameras do not capture hallucinations. Video cameras capture light reflecting from objects. So this is an unidentified flying object. There's no question about this. And then when we see it do the little strobe thing, which is coming up, I think, here pretty quickly, There we go. There you go.
It's scanning. It's going back and forth. It's scanning something.
It is indeed. And I think it does it again here.
Or it targeted something, and that's how the weapon works.
Yeah. All right. Now, when you see that, why would you let someone come along and convince you that you didn't see that? You did see it. All right. Now, to explain it, who knows? I mean, I can't explain that.
They talk a lot about, you know, the public is conditioned, the public, is being conditioned, this, that. Personally, I think, you know, at least speaking for here in the United States, the public is conditioning itself because, you know, it's willing to accept anything an expert says. We've become trained to believe that no one's opinion is valid unless they have, you know, some type of pedigree attached mm-hmm. to their name that says they're an expert in this. We have become a society of the expert is king, whether the expert knows a damn thing or not. But the expert is king. If they're the expert, I get asked, people ask me questions about things, you know, that are kind of in, you know, the realm of what I do. And, you know, if I don't know the answer, I don't bullshit them. I tell them, you know.
All right, let me remind you, we're on radio stations.
Sorry about that.
And we have to adhere to FCC regulations.
Gotcha.
I hope the radio station's bleeped. All right. We cannot be convinced, nobody listening to me right now could ever be convinced, if you saw a cow, no one could come convince you that you saw a Corvette or a Rolls Royce. It was a cow, all right? And if you see a jet aircraft, no one would ever be able to convince you that what you saw was some sort of weather anomaly. So why do you let people talk you into believing when you see a UFO? They talk you into believing that it's something else. There's got to be some rational explanation. No, there doesn't. Life is not rational. Explain one thing about life to me that is rational. It's not rational. Some of the worst people in the world get elevated to some of the highest positions. Some of the best, hardest working, most industrious, and creative people in the world get pressed down into the mud. Tell me that's rational. That's not rational. We don't live in a rational world, ladies and gentlemen. So why do you have to have a rational explanation for something we don't understand? It's called unidentified flying object. They do exist, and there's just no debate about that. They do exist. They're all literally thousands of miles of footage of these things. Even NASA shoots some of the footage.
Some of the best.
Well, let's go back to NASA, and let's see, how much time have I got here? I've only got 30 seconds or so till break. We come back from this break, I'm going to get into some NASA photographs. They say we're looking to see if it was ever even possible there might have been maybe some kind of life there. All right. We'll buy the mushroom food for right now, but not after this break. After this break, I'm just going to ask you to use your eyes, and what do you see? Okay, we're going to look at some NASA photographs, and I just want you to do that. Look at these photographs, use your eyes, and you decide. We'll be back right after this. Back, and we are going to dive off into just a few photographs here. One of these photographs has been mentioned by one of our callers recently, and he's really impressed with this, and well, he should be. You will be if you haven't seen it before. This particular photograph comes from the work of an astronomer, very famous astronomer, by the name of Tom Van Flandren. And I think this is really, really a smoking gun. There are so many smoking guns on Mars, it's unreal. I want to read again from this press release, all right? Scientific interest in Mars is due in large part to its atmosphere. I've already told you. They say the atmosphere is so thin that it can't hold water. It's so thin, liquid water cannot exist on the surface. And I also showed you pictures of airplanes that NASA has as part of their, it's a planned program where they're going to be flying an airplane remote controlled across the surface of Mars, above the surface of Mars. They're going to fly it for about 3 days, and I asked the question, and I think it's a valid question. How are you going to freaking fly an airplane without an atmosphere? I think that's a good question. But anyway, it says they're looking for past climate conditions that may have been suitable. It actually says this may have created past climate conditions that were suitable for sustaining surface liquid water and possibly life. Okay. All right. Well, let's go look at some NASA photos here. Are you ready? All right. Let's see. Does that look like there might have been some artwork there? That is carved into the side of a cliff. You know, people debate about the so-called face on Mars. It's certainly not the only face on Mars. This is artwork. That's as clear as it gets. I mean, we could recognize this individual in a lineup. Walter, you know, we see very fuzzy video from security cameras, and they do a still frame of it, and then they pass that around, and they say, does anybody recognize this? They're no clearer than that. That's as clear.
What are the dimensions of that supposed to be?
Oh, I don't know. On Tom's site, he talks about it and how big it is, but it's big. But that is as clear as it gets until you take a look at this one. Tell me, folks, tell me that geology produced that drawing on the surface of Mars. Tell me that with a straight face. Now, we're looking to see if there might possibly be past conditions that could possibly have sustained liquid water on the surface and might possibly have sustained some life. Well, who do you think drew this? What do you think about that, Walter?
That, here's what's interesting about that is it looks like, for those who can't see it, imagine a Mayan, an ancient Mayan, doing a rendition of an Egyptian queen, for example. And that's the style that it's reminiscent of. And what's interesting is, I believe, well, we know for a fact, that, you know, the ancient Egyptians, but I believe also the ancient South American cultures are both, through circumstantial evidence, associated with Mars. That's what I find very interesting about that.
Well, yeah, I find that to be fascinating. But, you know, it's not just these drawings and these carvings. I mean, it's obvious that someone did that. Geography doesn't draw pictures. Geography just doesn't do that kind of artwork. It's detailed artwork.
That first one was just, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's one of those you don't even have to look twice to see what am I talking about. It jumps right out at you.
Is it on a vertical surface or is it down horizontal?
it's on the side of a cliff.
Side of a cliff,
As it slopes toward the ground.
Okay, so it could be seen from the sky or from a ground position.
Yeah, it could be. It was shot from the Mars Global Surveyor.
Okay.
Okay, the satellite, which just went missing and they don't know where it went. Mm-hmm. I like that, and that's pretty cool, too.
It's inside now. It went in one of those holes.
That's a pretty cool deal. You know, they talked about, well, you know, maybe one of the batteries overheated, and then it had a little explosion. And yeah, well, where's the debris? They turned the high-resolution cameras. And let me go back and show you a picture that was shot by one of the high-resolution cameras on the new satellite. The camera that shot that picture, okay, or let me say the satellite that shot that picture, they turned on the high-resolution camera because they wanted to see if they could find the Mars Global Surveyor. It went quiet, right? They turned it to where the Mars Global Surveyor was supposed to be, and they couldn't find anything. So they turned on the wide angle. And when they turned on the wide angle, they expected at least to see some debris. Not only was the Mars Global Surveyor not in its orbit, there was no debris. It just was gone, kind of like Phobos 2. All right.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? You think there might be some life on Mars today? I don't know. That's looking straight down upon a forest of those things. It's too big to get all in one picture, but it's a long strip, and the picture's a long strip, and there's a forest of those things. And what you're looking at, according to Sir Arthur C. Clarke, he said that looks just like banyan trees. The only thing about those is they're about a half mile across.
Hmm.
They're huge. They're absolutely gigantic. There's a whole forest of them there. Might be life.
Well, we have gigantic trees on this planet, do we not?
We do, but I don't know of any that are a half a mile across.
Well, they had to have their kindred somewhere. maybe at one time they were.
I've got one more picture here. I this one is just, well, you'll see. What is that? That looks like a dead squid inside of the crater there.
That's a weather balloon now, Kevin. Come on.
Yeah, it's a crashed weather balloon. That's what it is. Now, you can see very clearly the one I'm calling a squid in that crater. Right next to it, there's one that looks like a baby squid or maybe a little crab. And you can't see it as well, but there's another one right in that small little hole right there. It looks like we've gotten into a nest of whatever these things are. This is blurry even when you blow it up, but it looks like it could be one as well. But there's no question that what you're looking at right in there is not geography. In that crater, that is not geography, nor is it in the crater below it. What do you think it is, Walter?
Can you close up on it a little bit, or is that about it?
There's no way I can zoom that in, but I can get rid of those marks.
I'm guessing those are fossilized or not.
They're huge. They're huge. You know, that big crater there is about a mile across.
Whatever lived in the sea that covered Mars. I mean, we're talking gigantic trees. We're talking gigantic, what appears to have been marine life. I believe we were talking about something gigantic a few nights ago, right?
That's correct.
And associated possibly with Mars. So that's, again, I don't know how they can just keep on. Saying anything.
Let me go back to that. Can you see anything there that looks like geography? It's got tentacles. It's got a sort of a umbrella at the top like squid do, or like maybe a jellyfish.
Yeah, that's not
that's huge.
Natural. It's not geological here, right?
Yeah, I don't see anything there that's geological. It does not look like something man-made or handmade. It looks like the fossils of some life form that it's trapped there. Maybe as the waters receded, it tried to find shelter in the last little pools, and in that hole was some water, maybe.
You know what I find really interesting? One thing that came to mind is Leviathan, the mysterious Leviathan that lives in our seas, according to Judeo-Christian biblical legend. However, when you look at that, isn't it interesting? It's almost, it resembles Cthulhu of Lovecraft's work. And
who is Cthulhu?
Cthulhu is, to any fans of H.P. Lovecraft, is the ancient god creature that is hidden on this planet, locked away, frozen under ice, and communicates psychically with those who would raise Cthulhu. You should read the story, The Call of Cthulhu, but it's very... H.P. Lovecraft allegedly created, he did create it in his fiction, but...
But this thing looks like what he created.
It resembles Cthulhu with the tentacles and such. And what's interesting, in some of my research, Lovecraft might have been not writing entirely fiction, is the point I was trying to get to the roundabout way.
We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. right. You just heard me say, hand me the book there, and this is it. This is what I want to show you. We had Sesh Hari on the show the other night talking about the handprint of Atlas. Walter owns the publishing company that publishes this book, and I just wanted you to see what it looks like. Let me get this right up here where you can see. There it is. Well, there we go. The handprint of Atlas. And this thing is full of all kinds of diagrams and drawings and illustrations to talk about, to explain what he talks about here in the book and what he talked about on the show when he was with us the other night. Walter, I appreciate you bringing that by.
Sure.
All right. Now, folks, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to open up the telephone line for you. And the telephone number is, for those who are watching the video feed, is now appearing on your screen, all right? And we will talk about whatever you want to talk about, but I really would like to have your reaction and response to the things that I've been showing you. You know, when we did the show the other night about Mars, the things that I showed you were amazing to many of you, but they are certainly not the only ones that we have available, as you have seen from what we've put up on the screen tonight. All right, let's go to the telephone line and to our caller. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
All right, Kevin, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, guys, you know, I brought this up the last time we had the Mars thing. You know what? I'm going to say it again. If it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck.
You think?
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. All right, which of those pictures, I'm a little curious about this, which of those pictures was the one that impressed you the most?
I would have to say the atmosphere pictures, the picture of the atmosphere of Mars. You know, for years, the lie about the paintbrush on the Mars finally came out. You know, they said this is a picture of the Mars, and this thing, we got a blue sky here, and the ground is not red.
Oh, you're talking about pictures in that previous show.
Yeah, in the previous show, and also these ones here, it's like wow.
Had you ever seen those faces that I put up?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Yeah. Especially the one on the, not the one face, like the face of Mars face, but the one that looks like it's painted on the wall, it's a bit faded out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that one before, and when I saw that one, I said, okay, somebody's been there.
Yeah, that's definitely artwork, not geology. All right, man, thanks for the call.
All right, have a good one.
All right. All right, folks, what do you think about it? We're talking about, the stuff we see on Mars, and we're talking about some of the photographs. Telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, we barely can hear you. This, who is this?
I'm sorry, let me see if I can speak a little louder.
Yeah.
Picture on the side of the cliff. Look at that. It looks like he has some sort of a device on the side of his head, like maybe that headphone with a speaker coming around.
Let me see if I can boost you, because we can barely hear you. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll have to let you go there, because I'm almost screaming.
No, that's okay. I got you now.
The picture's an impressive show. Tell people to zoom to 200%. They can see your pictures better.
Okay. Now, I've got you now. We can hear you. Which one did you say? Which picture?
I was talking about the picture that's on the cliff.
Okay.
It almost looks like he's wearing a headphone with a mouthpiece on his left
mm-hmm.
ear.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely not geology. That is definitely art. And the ancient Egyptian... If you can't see that, Bubba, you are blind.
So what do you think?
I'm going to have to let you go because I know you're having trouble hearing me.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. The telephone line is open, and we've got a lot of people trying to call in, and the system is putting them on hold and then putting them over to the voicemail. All right, let's see. If you call and you hear music, you made it, all right? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How we doing?
I'm doing well.
I say, I know that I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but I'm also a graduate of Northern Ohio Private Police Academy, and I worked in that field for 10 years myself.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, besides that, most of that stuff you're showing, that like that shows the Egyptian and that face,
yeah.
In the age of Google Earth, I've been watching a lot of that strange things on Earth, and they're showing a lot of pictures, you know, in different areas of the world, pretty much just like what's on, you know, you're showing there. And the only thing, you know, that we might not have here that they do is that giant face that's a mile long, but with the 100 or so pyramids that's, you know, worldwide, and most of them are growing over, you know, who knows that underneath, you know, some growth on a pyramid that, you know, we don't have a face like that too on Earth. So
yeah.
I'm
talking about the face on Mars.
That, you know, the answer we're looking for is most probably here, and probably there is people who know the answer to that.
Yeah, I think probably you're right. Terry, thanks for the call.
Sure.
All right. Okay, folks. Caller, you are, well, let's see. There we go. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Those pictures definitely are, they're very, very interesting, especially the one with Mr. Clark saying that they're banyan trees. They kind of look like big crystals, but
all right, just one moment. Here we go. Are you still with me, Debbie? Well,
this is Trey in Atlanta.
Trey in Atlanta. Okay, Trey, hang on just a minute, bud.
Okay.
I lost Debbie. Debbie, are you still with me? Are you still with us, Debbie?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It cut out to the music.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, those things happen. My computer's been really weird today.
Okay.
I just think they're interesting pictures. And again, as you said, nothing against NASA. I mean, I really love the space program and everything. But they really need to start bucking up and, you know, just admitting that what all these satellites are taking pictures of are items that are man-made. And, I mean, I just find it really hard for them to accept the fact that all these pictures that they're taking of all these different geological and man-made structures and pictures on Mars, that they just can't admit to it. I mean, you know.
Well, at the moment, they are operating.
We've got a brand new president in now, and, you know, I'm sure that he's going to pretty much tell NASA the same thing. You know, come on, look. Start admitting to the pictures that your satellites are taking. It just, I just can't understand why they're not wanting to admit up to it. There's,
well, because they'll go to prison.
Shamed about.
They'll go to prison if they talk about it.
Well, then, you know, if we're supposed to have freedom of speech and stuff, then...
No, wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. The people that we elect go there and represent our interest. You know that's true. They never, never, never
right.
are self-serving.
Yeah.
They never line their own pockets. They always act in the best interest of their constituents. And they pass this law. And we reelect them year after year after year. I got a song coming up. I think it may have already played. It says, the definition of madness is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different result. You and me, and everybody else in this country that keeps reelecting these people that keep this law in force, we have told NASA and all the other people that work for the government, if you talk about UFOs, we're going to put you in prison.
Well, you know, I mean, I feel badly for them, but I know for myself, like, you already know my story. What I saw the two times that I had my contact experiences, it was real. And I don't have to explain it to anybody because what I saw is what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really just think it's kind of a shame and sad that, you know, the folks at NASA that probably do want to talk about these pictures and, you know, come to the fore that these pictures, what we are seeing, these are real. I just feel really badly for them that they can't speak up and say their mind about it.
Well, the way you change that is you change the decision makers.
True.
And we don't. We don't change them very much, very often. We keep sending the same rascals back. Mm. And you're going to get the same results each time. All right.
All right.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's see. Trey, are you with me?
I'm here.
All right. Trey in Atlanta, what's on your mind?
Well, I like that that artwork you said, that last caller was talking about with the headgear. That one, it looks like it has lips. You can see defined lips and nose, and it's very clear. And I'd like to say, I mean, how many shots of overhead are we going to have to look at, and they keep looking at, like, faces?
Which
one? You know, go, hey.
Which
maybe
one of those?
To this. I mean, you know, it's
Trey. Which one of those?
A war shock test deal. Because
hey, Trey. Trey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Which one of those pictures are you talking about that is so clear for you?
The one you brought up for the last caller who was talking about possibly looking like headgear or headphones.
Okay. That one. Yeah, this one has been called the crowned face. Because it appears to be wearing a crown. It is. That's, man, I mean, that's just clear. That's not geography. That's not geology. That is art. And, but, you know, so is this one. This, the one that's up here now is the one that looks like an Egyptian queen. You can almost see lipstick on her. All right, Trey, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
That's a great picture, and it's funny you said it was called the crown one. I didn't know that, but I looked at it, and it looked like possibly a crown. And it would make sense that somebody would carve something for royalty, you know.
Yeah, it would indeed. All right, man, I appreciate the call.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks. All right, folks, the telephone line is 602-539-9580. And we will be more than happy to take your call at that telephone number. Caller, you are, let's see, I'm not pushing all the buttons in the right combination here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Steve in Fort Worth.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I thought, how you doing, Walter?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, fine. Hey, I just want to let you know that, you know, the video of the UFO and the night sky, I'm a little skeptical of all videos that I see that are in a night sky with no background or no points of reference to look at beyond the actual light in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for all I know, I mean, that's something that could have been created in a closet or a house or somewhere dark, you know what I mean? I mean,
well, it wasn't. It was done with a cell phone, and it was downloaded off of the cell phone, and the cell phone belongs to a police officer that was on patrol.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that it was, but I just say that to have something that could have some credibility, I think that, you know, like with the Phoenix lights, you had the background of the city of Phoenix to look at. And so you had some perspective of how large the object was compared to the surroundings. And in this particular video, I mean, there was nothing. It just points in the sky. And
well, of course, the Phoenix lights. The Phoenix lights were just flares. You know that.
Well,
that's what
they
told us.
Mm-hmm. Now they give a really good argument to support that theory with the. See, and that's something that I'm saying. See, there was actually mountains in the background that you could not see at night. And the daylight, you could actually see the mountains, and they made a good argument to say that the flares fell behind the mountains, and at night you would not have noticed that, but in the daytime it was obvious. So, and I'm not.
Well, that's a completely spurious argument because, first of all, they didn't have the appearance of flares. They didn't fly in the formation that flares fly in because flares don't fly. Flares fall.
Furthermore,
there were literally thousands of people on the ground directly under them in the city of Phoenix. They didn't fall behind the mountains.
Well, I agree with you, Kevin. I'm not discounting the observations from the people on the ground, but I am saying that the skeptics did a good job of proving that there could have been flares that actually drifted behind the mountains, and that's why the lights kind of fizzled.
I'll give them credit for making a good attempt, but there's absolutely no logical way that those are flares.
Okay. Well, I got one other comment on the face on Mars that has the crown.
All right.
And, you know, when I see that, I mean, you know, that on Earth, you know, Jesus was called the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And Pontius Pilate called him the King of the Jews. And every time I reference a person as a king, I've referenced a person with a crown on. And I wonder if this may not be a sign from maybe from God to on all planets, you know, that may have his trademark, you know, so to say. And when you look at this, I mean, it just looks like it looked like an innocent individual wearing a crown. And to me, it just has that feeling to it. Anyway, Kevin, I'm gonna hang up, and I appreciate
all right.
You
well, don't hang up yet. Let me ask you this: are you looking at your computer?
Yes.
All right, now what I've done is I've switched the picture, and it'll take a few seconds for it to get to your computer because we operate on a delay. But this is the drawing of a female. So if the other one is like a face of Jesus, who's this?
Well, I don't give a lot of credibility to this picture as I do the other picture. I'm sorry to say that I don't see the same image in the black and white as it is in the color. I mean, I could make a reference to it, but I think that the other picture is a lot more profound than this picture.
I will say the other picture is clearer. However, I don't know how you cannot put credibility in this. It was shot by NASA.
Well,
this is on NASA's film from the Mars Global Surveyor.
The picture's there, but I mean. The way I view it is, I guess people see what they want to see. Let me say that.
You don't see a female form in the dark.
In the black and white picture, I could say no. No, I there's not a definitive outline of a figure in the black and white picture. I would say absolutely not.
Well, let's put that up for a vote.
My opinion.
Let's put that up for a vote. Let's see how many people see a female figure here. Listen, I appreciate the call, and you know on this show you can say whatever you want to say.
And I appreciate that.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Have a good night, Kevin.
All right. All right, we're going to open up the phone, all the lines here for just a moment. 602-539-9580, and the question. Now, I've got a picture up on the screen. It's a picture side by side with, you know, you've got on the one side, it left the screen. Let me put it back up there, and let me answer this telephone call. It's side by side, and what I want to see here is I want your opinions. Do you see a female figure there? Caller, let me punch all the buttons right. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ray from Dallas.
Hi, Ray.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. It's been a while since we've heard from you.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you, that image of the female, that's very reminiscent of the Sumerian goddess Inanna.
Okay.
That comes to mind when I think of that.
So when you look at the black and white picture that's on the left side of your screen, do you see a female figure there?
Yeah, I'd say there's clearly one there.
Okay. Now, tell us about Inanna.
Well, she was one of the, according to Sumerian mythology, she's one of the, you know, the key players in the pantheon of God that ruled over Sumeria. And there was, in one of Sitchin's books, he clearly alludes to the fact that they had a lot of association with the planet Mars as well, so...
All right. So who do you think put this picture on Mars?
Well, yeah. It all depends on what terminology you want to use, but probably the probably some of the workers that existed up there at one point.
All right. Ray, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. What do you think, Walter? Who put that picture on Mars?
The people who lived on the surface. Before some of them came here and before the rest of them went underground. And they were very possibly the same people who came here and built our megalithic sites that we're so in a quandary over today. In some cases, the civilization that some of our own civilizations have considered the leaders of which to be gods or goddesses.
Are you of the opinion that you said they are now underground? You mean on Mars?
On Mars, yeah.
So definitely. You're of the opinion that they're still living there?
Oh, absolutely. I've said that in the past. There are people, you know, Martians, what have you, living inside Mars right now. I think that's part of the secrets. I think you can get to them via those holes. I think they've known about those holes for 100 years. My personal position is I've seen enough evidence to seriously consider that I say we, someone from here, made a concerted effort and successfully traveled to Mars 100 years ago. Now, I know how that sounds. I know that's going wacky and out on a limb in some people's opinions. But my research and my personal analyzation of the things, and not just mine. I'm not the only person who thinks this, just what I said, is that there's a whole history out there in the, well, there's a big chunk of the 20th century and the late 19th century that were not taught in school, and they've gone out of their way to keep quiet. And it has to do with Mars. It also has to do with the moon, and it has to do with the actual history of flight.
All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. More with Walter Bosley, more about this evidence, and your phone calls after this. We are back. We have a caller on hold, and let's bring that caller. Oh, he just hung up. Don't give up, my friends. If you know, and I kind of have a policy where I don't answer the phone during the breaks because people hang up. So anyway, if you make it, hang in there with me, and we'll get you, okay? All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Perry from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hi, Perry.
I didn't hang up, man. I got hung up on twice.
Oh, you did? Oh, so our system took over and hung up for you, or hung up on you. I apologize for that.
That's fine. I can call back.
Yeah.
Hey, your guest. There with you, Walter just mentioned something that just got me to get up off my butt and get the phone.
Well, good.
About people living on Mars right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Walter, are you familiar with an author by the name of Bob Frisell?
The title of his of the book I'm familiar with is on the tip of my tongue. Is that everything here is? You tell me. I can't remember.
There's two books. I don't remember the exact title of it either, but I have both of them in my room.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it you've read it.
It's been a while. Refresh my memory, and I'm sure
with
it'll
be there. The comments that he put in there that he said he got from Gianvallo Melchizedek.
That he got from where?
Maybe I said his name wrong.
No, you said it right. Melchizedek.
By the name of Gianvallo Melchizedek.
Okay, yeah, I've heard the name, yeah, and that's coming back to my memory a little bit. But.
Yeah, apparently Bob makes the claim in his books that humanity is half Martian, and that the Atlantean civilization was had its was mixed in with a Mars culture, and that partly the reason for the Atlantean civilization to sink into the sea was because of a meteor that came down and hit dead center on their capital. And it was like some sort of a karmic result of their interference with life on Earth. And therefore, the reason why Plato made a moral statement about the demise of Atlantis. So I'm curious to know more about why you suspect that there's people still living on Mars now, because according to Gianvallo Melchizedek, they were not only ejected off of Earth, but they lost their home on Mars as well. So I'd just like to hear some more about why you feel they're still living there.
All right. Perry, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
All right. Why do you think there are people still living on Mars, Walter?
Well, you have to remember that's one source who that's, you know, the speculation that, you know, or for whatever reason, their understanding is that, you know, they were ejected. Now, when I say there's people living on Mars, I personally believe that it's both Martians and, you know, Earth-born humans that went there. But and then on the other issue of the meteor hitting the capital of Atlantis being karmic, I think the whole concept of that having been a karmic attack is a bit of mythologizing about something a little bit more in the practical world. I think the thing that struck was the result of an attack. I think what you had were planets at war. And if you read the works of Joseph Farrell, the Cosmic War and the Giza Death Star trilogy, he spells that out a lot better than I can, and other authors as well. But my conclusions have come from personal research. They've come from, as I've talked in the past, certain sources I had while I was, you know, doing certain jobs. And as I've said in the past, no, unfortunately, I'm not going to share with you who those sources are. I can't. But it's a combination of, I guess, what they call a preponderance of evidence for me that that there are still people living not on but inside Mars.
All right, fair enough. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Eric in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you doing tonight?
Outstanding. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm not working. I can't complain.
All right.
So I just wanted to mention real quick to your listeners, there's an initiative that Stephen Bassett with the Paradigm Research Group has started. If you go to factsonwashington.org, the goal is to get 1 million letters or faxes to the Obama transition team headquarters and to a Senate office between now and January. I don't know the exact date, but and as you know, John Podesta, he's heading Obama's transition team. And if you go to YouTube and type in Podesta and UFO, you'll see his position on UFO disclosures. So that's facts on Washington.
All right. Thanks for the call, Eric.
Pro-UFO disclosure. So.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we had Stephen Bassett on the show not too long ago, and he talked about this planned million faxes and or letters sent to whoever was going to be the new president. Of course, we now know how that came out. And one of the most paranormal things that you can imagine happened during this election. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Tell me.
Apparently, for some unknown reason, the people in Florida were able to vote without confusion, and they were able to count their votes this time.
Yes, imagine that. How extraordinary. Yeah,
that blew my mind. Now, you folks in Florida, I know you're going to flood me with email now, but you gotta laugh at it. You got to laugh at it. All right. Yeah, what do you think, folks? Now, you know, I read to you. Hang on. Let me grab it again. I read to you this press release. This is from NASA. And if you can, zoom up on this and let's take a look at it. See, you can see the NASA logo on there. This is a press release from NASA. And NASA, it came out today. NASA says they're going to hold a workshop about the atmosphere on Mars, and it says scientific interest in Mars is due in large part to its atmosphere, which has shaped its history and surface. This may have created past climate conditions that were suitable for sustaining surface liquid water and possibly life. And then I showed you from NASA's own photographs, both in the show that we did 2 weeks ago and the show tonight, I showed you photographs, a whole two different sets of photographs from NASA that show liquid something. I think it's water. It's not cold enough up there for it to be liquid methane or liquid nitrogen or any of that. It's some sort of liquid, and I showed you a picture of what I called a Martian pothole where the rover had rolled through it, and you could see water in the pothole and the mud out on the ground where the rover came out of it, the muddy tracks. Well, we took a look at that in that previous show. Tonight, we've taken a look at lakes, and you know, I want to show you again. Just consider what we're looking at here. First of all, this is Lake Vostok. Now, that's on Earth. That is a radar image of Lake Vostok. The lake is outlined for you in green. But look at the textures and the surface and all of that. And then look at this picture from Mars. I mean, they except for the shape, are almost identical in their appearance. I just don't think that, number one, I don't think that NASA has been telling the truth about the true conditions on Mars. And we saw that with the, you know, they've been showing us these pictures of a red sky and deep red soil. And, you know, and then when the rover started sending pictures back live.
Yeah.
The live pictures, you know, they couldn't doctor those. And the live pictures showed a sky that looks just like ours.
Mm-hmm.
And soil that looks just like this dirt right outside the door here in the desert. And then, you know, they tell us the atmosphere is too thin to even hold water.
Right.
But they plan on flying airplanes there.
Mm-hmm. And they can tell us whatever they want because they're the ones controlling the satellites.
Mm-hmm. They tell us there's no surface water.
Right.
And then we have a cyclone made of water, according to the scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And that cyclone was so huge that the eye of the cyclone was the size of one of the largest cyclones or hurricanes we've ever recorded on this planet. Just the eye was the size of one of the largest we've ever recorded, and that was Hurricane Ike.
Mm-hmm.
It's the size of Texas. Now, Texas is a big area.
Well, I think the question, the real question here now is, what are they playing at? They can't deny these images because it's coming right off their feed, right off their site. Not only is it coming off their feed, but they're putting this stuff up on their site for people mm-hmm. to see. And initially they were saying, no. And then they've started putting up these images that contradict directly what they have been telling us no on. And now they don't say anything. So we have to ask, we have to analyze, what are they playing at? What's coming that this is going, you know, what is the result of what they're doing? Because
what they're doing now
has some significance to our future.
Here's what I wonder about this, Walter.
Mm-hmm.
Over here is what they say, right?
Yes.
And over here are the photographs.
Yes.
And what I wonder is, since they apparently are constrained by law, mm-hmm. that they can't reveal
right.
anything about alien civilizations to us.
Yeah.
That's the law. I mean, they can't talk about it.
Right.
They just put the pictures out there, and you find what you find.
Well, I have the answer now, I believe.
What is it?
And I've thought of this before, but it just rings true right now. I think they're doing this to draw certain people out. They're trying to draw out who in the multitude of people sees what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they want to see, okay, number one, how many people are going to get this? How many people are going to realize, hey, wait a minute? And then you got to ask yourself, okay, now that they know there's a certain number of people that are kind of standing up going, hey, wait a minute, what else do they want to know about those people?
All right. We have to take a break. We come back, we'll have time for one or two phone calls. Get your fingers ready to do the walking and dial that number. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a caller on hold. Let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I agree with Walter as to what he said about NASA doing a study on to see how the shift of thinking is starting to lean toward what they're not telling us.
Yeah.
You know, because the pictures we've been seeing here of the artwork and the structures on Mars, there's just too much evidence showing us that there was and possibly is a civilization still there. But, of course, they don't want to blow our minds by just coming out and saying, well, we've been holding back or we haven't been telling the truth, so whatever.
I think all they have to do is say, you know, when they decide that they're going to disclose this stuff, all they have to do is they just say, look, we had to keep the law that you folks passed. We wanted you to know. That's why we let the pictures out. But we couldn't talk about it. And I think once we lift that law of silence that they operate under, they will talk about it. I don't think, let me say this, Kevin. I don't think that people at NASA are evil people. I don't think they have evil designs, and I don't think they have any kind of malicious intent. I think they're operating under a law that we here in the United States created and put over them. And they have to. But they will be able to say, once that law is amended or lifted, they will be able to say, look, we wanted to tell you, but you told us you didn't want to know. And so, you know, we put the pictures out there for you. And I don't think there's going to be any real repercussions against NASA for that. I think anybody can understand that, you know, we passed the law, and it said we'll put you in prison. And, you know, not only will we put you in prison, you'll lose all your pay, your pension. You'll never work again. Your life is over if you talk about this. And so I think, you know, once we make it possible for them to talk, they will talk. But right at the moment, we, through that law, have our thumb firmly pressed on their heads.
How long before we reach critical mass then and changes start happening?
I think we're there. I think the public has outrun the spin.
Mm-hmm.
When the spin comes out, it still does. We just laugh at it. The public doesn't buy, in majority, the public does not buy the spin anymore. So
yeah,
I think we're there.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I hope we're there. I think it's time.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. We have, let me see. Oh, we've got about 8 minutes. If you wish to call in, I'll take one more really quick call, and then we're going to have to bring this one in for a landing. We're on final approach here, Walter.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that top clock over there?
Yes.
7 minutes. Actually, six. We have 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
Because that last minute is when the music starts.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. All right. Folks, the point of all of this is you're not stupid. I mean, you've had eyes all your life. You see what you see, and it is what it is. It's that simple. It really is that simple. It is what it is. It isn't what someone spins up some big story and says it's this. No, it is what it is. You're looking at it. It is what it is. And whenever, as I said, whenever your eyes see an egg, you don't allow someone to convince you that's a basketball. When your eyes see a comb, you don't allow someone to convince you it's a Kalashnikov. So why, when we're looking at these photographs from Mars, we're looking at photographs from the moon, from Titan, we see things, and we know what we're looking at. When those first photographs came back from Titan, I could see an ocean. I mean, just as clear, and I did a show on this. Some of you remember it. I did a show on this. Just as clear as day, you can see an ocean. And you see islands, and you see even some white caps in the ocean. And then no one commented on that from officialdom.
Right.
And then finally they said, well, we think there may be some lakes there. Lakes. Lakes my rear. There's an ocean in those photographs. And, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at it, your eyes see it. You don't know whether it's water. You don't know whether it's liquid methane. You don't know that. But you know you're looking at an ocean of something. And that's what I'm talking about. You see it? It is what it is.
Admittedly, you get people, you know, will question photographs because of, you know, Photoshop and what can be done these days with computers. But when you can direct them to something that is like what you see on these NASA sites, which are direct feeds from satellites, okay, that's... unless NASA has a stake in doctoring these images between the satellite and their site, which I'm saying that with doubt that they do, you know, unless they're doing something that sinister, and there will undoubtedly be people out there who will grab onto that and say, aha, yes, that's what they're doing. Unless they're doing that, those images you can, I want to say, trust, those are the ones that bear, you know, some type of explanation beyond, you know, this thing last year that I can't remember the name of it, but it was that image of the silver spindly looking UFO in the sky, and And I think even...
You know, it had spikes all over it.
Yeah, and I think even Whitley Strieber came out and said, even if it's a hoax, there's validity to it, which kind of made me go, what? You know, that one I don't get, Whitley. But, you know, that, yeah, you look at that, I recognized a Photoshop image immediately in that. But these things we're getting from the NASA feed, again... I just don't think they can be questioned even within the digital age in the same way.
Well, of course, the NASA, and it's proven fact, has doctored photographs.
Usually to hide things.
Well, yeah, they've airbrushed out things. That, I mean, there you can see that. You can go on the web and find those photographs where you can clearly see they've airbrushed it. You know, they made Mars as red as this tabletop.
Yeah.
They made the sky in Mars on Mars to be reddish and and you know, and we know that's just not the case.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying, as Walter said, when you see these photographs that are coming from NASA, you see these photographs that show you a blue sky on Mars and the dirt is not even as red as southern Oklahoma. When you see that, you see your eyes see it. It is what it is. Okay, those are live images. Originally they came in as live images, and you see what you see. It is what it is. And I simply ask you to think about this again, without assigning anything malicious toward NASA. Ask yourself this question. Are you going to believe what you hear or what you see? I'm voting for what I see. I have never yet mistaken an egg for a basketball. I've never yet mistaken a cow for a Corvette, and I don't think you have either. Walter, thanks for being with me this evening.
Hey, thanks for having me here. Great.
And ladies and gentlemen, my friends call me Steeleye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.